and so I took both our passports to the Yugoslav consulate and spent the rest of the day buying Bibles. Corrie gave me an argument again. There was so much to do in the camps. She could do nothing in Yugoslavia. The same objections as before. But this time I overruled her, on the grounds of her own health, and we set out for the first time together behind the Iron Curtain. If it hadn't been for Corrie's illness, which seemed to get worse instead of better, that first week of the trip would have been perfect. This time the border guard scarcely glanced at our luggage. They spotted us for newlyweds and suggested ocean resorts to visit and scenic routes to take. For future smuggling operations, I filed away this new bit of knowledge. A man and woman made a natural travelling team and aroused far less suspicion than a man travelling alone. Jamil and Nicola greeted us with tears of joy standing in their eyes. When we brought the new Bibles out in church after church, the congregations could scarcely believe their eyes. And then everyone had to meet Corrie. The women kissed her, the men thumped me on the back. For 6 days, things couldn't have gone better, with Nicola interpreting for me again, in spite of the fine and warning he had incurred for his earlier help. I shared with Yugoslavian churches the vision that had come to me in East Germany, a vision of Iron Curtain churches not in retreat, but on the advance. And then on the evening of the seventh day, while we were eating dinner in the house of friends in a town near Sowaweho, the police came. It happened so suddenly that for a moment I didn't realize for whom they had come. We were seated around the kitchen table eating rice and lamb, all except Corrie, who didn't feel well and had gone to lie down, when there was a knock on the door, and in walked two grey uniformed police.
"You come with us," they said to me.
"Come? Where?
Do not talk, do not finish your meal, just come."
I looked at my friends, who were sitting, forks raised, mouths open in fear. Corrie appeared in the doorway, pale and dishevelled.
"She is with you?"
"Yes."
"Her too."
It was soon apparent that the police knew all about my former trip to Yugoslavia. They were courteous enough, but they informed us that we would have to leave the country immediately. My visa had been cancelled. There was no redress. Would I please hand over my passport then and there? Reluctantly, because I did not want a bad stamp in my passport that other consulates would question, I turned over my papers. The officers looked at them carefully, cross-checked them with their own orders, and then took out an enormous red stamp, which they inked well and slammed down across the face of my visa. I was persona non grata in Yugoslavia. Already at a low ebb, physically, Corrie was shaken by the arrest. "Andy, I was scared stiff," she kept saying as we drove across Austria toward Germany. "And those men were being nice about it.